A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, Nightcast Creative, Dicey Cantina, and Erica Goodwitch present Path of the Storm, a High Republic story. The moon of Narhaipa is under siege. Three Jedi Knights have been called in to break it. As Lodi and Nikisa work to uncover more information and secure a meeting with the noble court, Bekros goes on his own to investigate a clandestine meeting. A large ship bearing the sigil of the Hutt cartels darkens the moon's sky. More is going on Narhaipa than meets the eye.
On the Thronta, Lodi sits in the communications bay, which is just a chair in the cockpit with a communications terminal in front of it. She's calling out from the ship in the docking bay on Narhaipa to council in the far reaches of the Anowit sector, to the person that she knows on the noble court advisors, of the noble court advisors, Bik Farsi. How does Lodi know Bik?
As we've established, Lodi has already dealt with the noble court before. She had to negotiate with them in order to be able to build the temple on Bespin. She's probably dealt with them a lot. We never really talked about who Lodi's master was or her days as a Padawan, but she is from the temple on the outpost on Bava.
Yeah.
So she probably has dealt a lot with diplomacy and negotiations in this little corner of the galaxy. She's a little attached to it. So I imagine that she knows Bik as just a friend from Bik's early apprenticeships days, along with hers, to both of them being well-to-do, whatever words.
Fancy force people?
Yeah, in their own fields, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Lodi as a Jedi Knight and diplomat, and Bik as aide to the noble court.
A small hologram of Bik appears on the computer in front of her. You can see through the glowing blue the sheen of gold across his skin.
Lodi, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm afraid it is not a friendly call today, Bik.
You can see that he's putting on, just as the hologram popped up, the last bits of his robe, he wipes some sleep out of the corner of his eye.
Not a social call, hmm?
No, I'm on Narhaipa.
Oh.
Oh, indeed. Do you realize the state that the people are in on this moon right now? They are weeks away from starvation.
Well, there's not much I can do.
Well, you can...
You know these matters are out of my hands.
I am here because I was called to help resolve this matter as a member of the Jedi Order. I am hoping to establish a meeting of the local leadership here and the noble court, perhaps in a neutral location.
Perhaps, but this is Prince Romar's thing.
His thing?
He's busy. I don't know that he'll want to come to your neutral location. I'll try on your behalf to convince him, but I'm not sure I'll be able to.
What do you know of the situation? You say you obfuscate that it's not in your hands, that you don't know anything of it, that it's all Prince Romar's thing. What do you know?
Queen Yana is trying to get the prince to act more like a ruler and less like an aristocrat. The problem is that he's young. I mean, his 16th birthday was last week. He had a big hunt, a party. It's hard to get him to see anyone else's perspective. That is part of our job as advisors, to try to get the court to see others' perspectives, the perspectives of the galaxy. But the prince is young, naive. He doesn't know about the galaxy yet. I can't tell you the last time he was off council.
I was imagining a young adult, not a teenager.
Yeah, he's 16.
Oh, God. Obviously, Lodi already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Let them eat the cake.
Now I have to reorient my entire perspective.
Is Nikisa in the room? No, right? Lodi is alone for the call, right?
I think Nikisa's off doing computer stuff.
Okay.
About a half an hour of computer stuff that you're working on right now, and Becca has about a half an hour of piloting up.
Yeah, I don't know about the ground troops yet, do I? No. If this situation in Arhippa is his first attempt at acting like a young ruler versus an aristocrat, who's whispering in his ear that this is the proper way to deal with this? The moon wants independence. Starving them out is supposed to accomplish what?
I need a social check.
Okay. Which one? What do you want? Do we want to roll our destiny points first?
Yeah, we should probably get our destiny points.
Yeah. I've been fiddling with this dice in my hand for 10 minutes now.
So I rolled one dark side. Nikisa rolled one dark side.
Yeah. It's dark times. She's in a dark room right now. That's fine.
I rolled light and I add a light.
Okay.
I rolled a dark side too.
Excellent. So we're starting out with two light side and three dark side.
All right. So.
Do we have any information of what kind of rulers throughout history these nobles have been?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I think generally they are hands-off. If they get their taxes and whatever these planets owe them on time, they're going to mind their own business.
Okay, so there's not a lot of dictators and make the people suffer. As long as they're giving the money, they're kind of you can do your own.
Yeah, it's more like king and serfs. It's it's a feudal system, really. The planets give them what they owe them in quotes.
Yeah.
And
okay, but are they known in the past for resorting to violence and stuff like that, kidnapping and killing and stuff like that?
I think in recent history this is the most active situation on this moon.
I think
in the last century or so, everybody's been getting along.
Okay.
Yeah, there hasn't been a proper war in the galaxy for at least 100 years.
Okay.
So you're going to roll something.
I think it's charm.
You're getting this guy to spill some beans.
Though I'm sitting here thinking, why the heck don't I have a rank in charm?
Why the heck don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's three green dice and a blue die. Don't remember what the boost die is from, but I'm gonna do another boost die to pull on our long-standing friendship.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's against two reds and a purple.
Okay, I'm gonna have to re-roll that red. All right,
you've got two light side points
and you got boost dice that you can ask for, because you guys have rapport.
Well, that's what I did. I have a boost die because of our long-standing friendship and working relationship. So
I'm fine if you want to flip.
Yeah, I will.
Probably should.
Mark, you already have three. You don't have to.
Yeah, you greedy little monster.
You've only got three greens.
All right, fine. I have one yellow die, two green die, two blue die, a purple and a red that I'm going to roll twice because I only have one red die for some reason in my set. All right. I need to make a graphic and put it right here. So are the triangles failures or threats?
Failures.
Failures. Thank you.
TIE fighter wings are threats.
Right.
And with a mustache, it's an advantage.
That's one failure and four advantages.
Okay. So you basically asked who is it that the prince is listening to right now? Who's the person whispering in his ear? Who's advising him on this matter? And Vic says,
well, as you know, I'm not allowed to speak about who's advising whom.
But you've got all those advantages. How many advantages? Six?
Four.
Four.
What would you like? Six. It was absolutely six advantages. I heard it was six.
Lodi knows Vic very, very well. And therefore can pick up on the nonverbal cues.
That there totally is somebody
Well, obviously there's somebody. He's 16. Why, like, he's just ordering a blockade all on his own. I mean, that is some. This does sound like something some stupid teen royal who doesn't know any better would just be like, just starve him out. Yeah. Do I at least know that it's not Bick?
It's not Bick.
Okay. That feels like
that's not even an advantage. I think you just got that from him talking.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you want to do?
Could it be that Bick doesn't like whoever this mysterious person is?
Yes. That's the thing that I'm like going for. Like, Bick. Like, Bick is clearly displeased with this. So the advantage is like he wants to help us.
As you know, I'm not allowed to speak about who is advising whom at any given time, but I can tell you that I have my suspicions about the advisor who's attached to the prince right now. I can't speak to the veracity of my suspicions, but I can't say I trust this individual. He may have some ulterior motives.
Are you able to supplant them at all? And maybe be the prince's guiding light in this instead?
Unfortunately, no.
I'll flip this dark side point.
I am advising someone, let's say, a little higher up in the ranking than the prince, and I am off-world right now.
Well, that is unfortunate news indeed. I think that if this is handled poorly by the noble courts, it will very quickly fall into violence.
That would be unfortunate. Those poor people on that little moon.
Not as hopeless as they think. Not as unarmed as they think.
Yeah, I don't know about the ground troops. I'm thinking purely about Hask.
Yeah.
And that drop tonight. And that deep, deep laugh in my vision.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, Lodi? It's quite late here, and I have an early morning.
No, and I apologize for disturbing your rest. It's good to see you.
It's quite all right. It's good to see you. We should catch up when I'm back on council.
As the force permits.
He gives you a nod.
Good night, Lodi.
Good night.
And the hologram disappears into the computer. What does Lodi hear from the opposite side of the ship? As Nikki cracks the...
This is what she hears.
Right? Open. All right. What does Lodi do after hanging up with Bick?
You know, after like all of those advantages spent on getting this inside person that I know somebody turned out to be useless.
Well, you could always call Bick back later and get more info.
Yeah, maybe.
He's not going to tell you the name of the person, but he does have stuff. He's got info for you if you need it.
Yeah. And I can come up with something to bribe him with later.
I mean, surely they don't want the realm destabilized.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially once I find out the information about the ground troops and the huts being involved. I'm going to be like, Bick, listen. Having one more independent moon in the system isn't bad, as long as that independent moon isn't secretly owned by the huts.
So about a half an hour has gone by.
Okay.
Lodi had her conversation with Bick. Didn't get quite what she was looking for, but maybe the idea that somebody untrustworthy was advising the prince.
Oh, on official channels, I do send forward a request for an audience or whatever with His Royal Highness's
Sure. court. So as you send it, it has made it to the blockade and is the communication is awaiting. What's the word? Forward, I guess.
Censorship.
It's got to be properly censored before it's sent out.
Oh, wait. And then after I do that, I go to check in on my two other knights. And then I go look around. I'm like, where's Becros?
Who? She is very into her computer now. She's barely acknowledging you, by the way.
Lodi kind of just comes and leans a little bit on the back of your chair and is just like, Bekros, our other fellow Jedi Knight, taller than me,
Poncho guy?
Orange skin, Keldor. Yes, Poncho guy.
Nikisa raises her head, looks around, I don't know, and goes back to tapping on her computer.
Lodi goes to see if his speeder is gone.
It is.
He went to the drop point.
I mean, he did have the location. Makes sense.
Pretty sure he told y'all, but you weren't listening.
No, you said... I listened, and you said, I'm going to do the thing that I always do. I'm just going to leave.
Just leave.
We did get a call at some point, right? I didn't have time to...
I think we're about to get the call.
Here's the
fun part, is that at the end of that one, I said, a couple hours go by.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. At least an hour in when it breaks.
I mean, we know what time the drop is supposed to be, too. So you think we would be like, oh, look at the time.
You don't know exactly what time. You know it's tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I went, so that we wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
So, upon checking around the ship, it appears that Bekros has, in fact, taken out his swoop and probably gone to the drop point.
He's going to get himself stabbed again.
As Lodi comes to the conclusion, Nikisa finishes up the decrypting of the drive and finds some juicy information.
Yes, which she promptly has it kind of showing on the... Because it's all holograms and stuff, right? So, like, it's all a visual thing.
Yeah, I imagine this is, like, this is...
Any sci-fi that has those screens, like, floating.
We kind of describe the interior of the ship as sort of like a... Just like a drop ship. But I think it probably has some sort of portable communications hubs. And like a digital whiteboard kind of thing set up.
Okay.
Something that you can all, like... debrief and put information up on.
Okay, yeah. So as soon as she's like opening the informations and getting, she's like basically up, like sending them, sliding them towards the whiteboard, anything that seems like relevant in terms of like time slots and schedules and names and all of that. It's like, okay, I'm making here a list of the things that I think are relevant for you to start taking a look at while I finish opening everything. She doesn't know if there's anyone around. Like, she's, like, literally not acknowledging if there is, like, more than one person or not around her to check. She's kind of talking to herself, kind of talking to the ship. If anyone is interested, it's here to see it. But I'm, like, more interested in the things that I'm still, like, opening.
As that stuff is going up on the board, there is the sound of three comlinks in this ship, getting an incoming message, which says,
"We've got huts. The drop's happening. It's huts.
Oh, huts.
You might want to head this way.
Do we have an estimate? Do we have an estimate of how many you can?
I mean, there's more than I would like. They're bringing out crates of things. I don't think we want them leaving the crates with the folks that are here to get it. I'll keep an eye on it." But I don't think I'm gonna let the crates leave this area. We'll see.
Send me your location.
Got it.
He pings it.
Yep. And the engines of the ship begin to spool up. Just making sure that both of you are going with the ship. Are you both going with the ship?
I suppose so. Yeah. I thought we were just gonna go get speeders ourselves and set off. But okay.
I think Bekros brought his swoop, because Bekros is a car guy.
Wait, I can't believe we don't have at least one vector.
I don't think this ship's big enough.
Okay, fine.
Meanwhile, out in the desert, a ship has come down in the space between these outcroppings of rock. Gamorreans and Nyctos and Klaatunians begin taking big hover crates down off of from in the cargo bay and down a ramp to the waiting farmers, now rebels. Becros can see it all from his vantage point off among the rocks. What is Becros going to do?
Becros is currently like hunched down in some of the more like sandstone outcroppings to hide this transfer out of you. He's got his uncolorful poncho that he changed into, pulled up,
yep,
and got the hood up and everything to make himself as inconspicuous as possible. I think he's got a small set of binoculars, kind of keep track of it. And mm-hmm. at the moment, he's just trying to observe. He's pretty certain that the crates won't leave this crater in his mind, but he's not sure how to accomplish that yet.
You see a handshake between the Trandoshan Hask, who you've had your eyes on, and a skinny Twi'lek. You see the glint of sharp teeth in his mouth. He smiles. And I don't think you're close enough that you can quite hear what they're saying, but from the looks of it, the Twi'lek looks fancier than everyone else. They've got their nice robes on. Everyone else has just leather and canvas and wraps around their arms and legs. There appear to be maybe six crates. Not enormous, but big enough to probably hold at least 24 blasters each.
Do they crack one open to show the farmers what it is and I can see
absolutely.
Inside?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you see inside, though, is a great question. I think to get to the right vantage point to see inside, I'd like another stealth check.
Okay. What's my difficulty?
Two reds and a purple.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You got any boosts there?
It's dark out. This is happening in the middle of the night. I'm on the fringes of the light, right?
You can have two boosts for that.
I can't think of another one. I'll go for it.
Okay.
You said two reds and a purple?
Yep.
So I got zero successes, but two advantages.
Okay. So you are moving along these dark edges, along the dark edges of this rock feature. Lots of people down below, couple dozen really, between the locals and the people bringing in the shipments. In moving around, you can't find a good place to get high enough to see inside the crates. You can see that the crates open. You can see that it's kind of dark inside. The planet is hanging low in the sky above your head and casting shadows in just the right direction to obscure what you're trying to look at. And there's no way to get higher without being in full view of these people. Any ideas for your two advantages?
Can I remain hidden for my advantages?
I was going to let you remain hidden anyway.
Okay, good. I don't even have to spend advantages on that then. I would like to position myself or be able to position myself in such a way that if the farmers are loading the crates up on like speeders to take somewhere else, that I'm closer to.
Yeah.
Their obvious means of leaving.
So you're putting yourself in between them and the town that they would go back to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you get in position there, and as the last crates come down off of this big barge, and I think being the person that Becros is, you can see that this ship, while large, as a cargo ship tends to be, looks like it's been outfitted to be pretty nimble. It's like a small blockade runner. And the Twi'lek slaps Hask on the back, and the rest of the goons, who there is no doubt in your mind work for a hut, get back onto the ship. You hear the engines start up, and I think as you hear those engines start up, you can hear another set of engines in the distance.
Is that y'all?
I presume so.
Back on the Thronta, in the cockpit, you can see the shape of this outcropping of rocks coming into view on the horizon. You are speeding low across the desert. There's a plume of of sand rising behind the ship. And Captain Dross calls back.
Where do you want me to take it down?
Well, probably not close enough that they can hear or see us. We might have to.
Well, we're running out of room for that.
I'm imagining Captain in the captain's chair, hand on the throttle, maybe Lodi standing behind, watching the horizon, since Lodi is very good with her eyes.
I open the comm link to Becros. What's going on the ground there? We're nearby.
They've made the trade of the weapons. Hask's got them. They're getting ready to move them into the farm. I think I can follow them or prevent them from getting to use these weapons, but the hut ship's leaving. Maybe you guys should follow that.
Well, the hut ship's presumably just going to leave the moon.
I'll default to your political know-how, Lodi, but I think it might help negotiations if we provide proof of a hut ship running the blockade.
Time's running out. We're almost on them.
Do you have a recording device with you at all? Have you been taking stills, video, anything?
I've been watching.
Do you have physical proof that we can bring? we can add to our database?
Look, the hut ship's gonna leave the system. There's a blockade here. If you follow it and ping it to the officials here, they'll at least know. They can give chase. And then you can come back here and help me.
Luna swerves the ship off to the right to not have it buzz this rock outcropping. And you begin to move further into the desert away from it.
Well, I'm just dealing with farmers. If we've got some kind of negotiation to do.
I would rather not, knowing about the impending ground forces, tip off the noble court.
The what?
The ground forces.
Becros has no idea they're
I'm not talking to him exactly.
He's not listening too much to.
Would you like backup? That's the first question.
Yeah. I'm not going to ping this ship. I have my reasons for doing it. I will tell you about it later. Now's not the time. I'm not going to ping the ship to the noble court. They don't need to know about this.
Okay. Well, come here then. I'll keep them.
Any chance for you to take physical pictures of it before it flies away? Do you have equipment that you could do that?
I don't want to spend the light side token to have that, so.
No, I don't have that ability. But look,
can
it's fine.
Easily take down the make and model.
A physical descriptor. It does have a big old logo or something on the image on the side of it.
The ship is not shy about belonging to Aha.
Yeah.
Am I turning around or following the ship? What's going on?
I'm telling you, Lodi, follow the ship and then swing back here once you've dealt with that. I'll keep them from leaving the trade spot.
Dross looks at the comlink. Looks back up at Lodi.
Nikisa, one of us needs to be on the ground to back up Becros. I would rather it be you. You can be stealthy right. And sneaky and maybe go find out things on that farm.
I hear you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we need to divide this team a little more cohesively.
You think you can jump out the hatch, no problem?
If we go low enough, I hope so.
The ship banks hard and begins flying back towards the outcropping of rocks, low with that sand pluming behind it. You move to the back of the ship where the captain lowers the ramp. You see rocks flying by. Breakneck speeds. You see moisture evaporators zooming off into the distance behind you.
You've got 10 seconds to think about it, then you gotta jump.
You hear that through the ship comms.
Just trust in the force.
Sure.
3, 2, 1.
Yep.
Give me an athletics or coordination with your force die added. Thank you for listening to this episode of Path of the Storm. I'm your GM and host for this season, Mark. You can find my podcast, Coruscant Nights, and The Other Place, wherever you listen to podcasts. Becros is played by Andrew from Dicey Cantina. Be sure to check out Dicey Cantina's newest podcast, The Foxglove Letters, out now, wherever you get your podcasts. Lodi is played by Erica Goodwitch. You can also find Erica on the newest season of Heroes of the Hydean Way. Check the show notes for all of her links. And Akisa is played by Isabella Jones. Thank you to Wink and Nikki for lending their voices to this episode. This episode of Path of the Storm was produced by Nightcast Creative. For info on all of our shows, RPGs, and everything else we do, visit nightcastcreative.com.